I like to think of these as being like a bicycle with two wheels. God has built these two truths of confidence in Jesus Christ and skepticism about myself into the framework of his truth. And if you take either of the wheels off the bicycle, you're not going to get anywhere very far, obviously.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like our culture has not just taken one of these wheels off, they've actually flipped these wheels around.
Flipped them around, yeah. So we are meant to have confidence in God and skepticism about ourselves.
Yeah.
I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, actually what the world is doing today is turning it the other way around. Just what you said, mm-hmm. Steve, that we end up being confident in ourselves and skeptical about God. That makes no sense at all. If I know that sin is in me, that there's a fallenness that's in this nature, why right. in the world would I trust what I feel, what I think, and all the rest of it, and have all my questions about God? I need to put my confidence in God and in his revelation of the Bible and ask questions about myself. Why are you so messed up, and why are you thinking in the way that you are? So getting this the right way around is absolutely huge.
And that's what we're going to begin to look at in today's message. It's entitled Watch Yourself, because in Scripture we're commanded to do that a number of times.
That's exactly right. And watching myself is going to mean having a profound awareness of my own tendency to get it wrong. You know, every time a person says, you know, my best friend told me just go with what you feel, that's awfully dangerous
that's
advice, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it might be the right thing, but I've got to at least be skeptical that my feelings may very well be twisted with one kind of sin or another, and that unless I check myself by the word of God, which is the sure revelation that's been given to me, I'm very likely to go completely awry.
Well, speaking of the Word of God, let's get into it today. We're in the book of Jude, really focusing on verse 23 as we begin this message. Watch yourself. Here's Pastor Colin.
The letter of Jude, and beginning at verse 23. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing that is stained by corrupted flesh. Now, this little letter that has been our focus over these weeks is actually not the one that Jude wanted to write, but it is the one that God knows the church needed to have in the New Testament scriptures. If you look at verse 3 at the beginning of this little letter, you'll see that Jude tells us that he wanted to write a letter about the salvation we share. I think he wanted to write something like the book of Romans. He would have liked to have written that kind of a letter that just expands on the magnificence of our salvation. But God had other plans, because towards the end of the first century, some of the churches were losing their way. The problem began when the wrong people got into positions of leadership. Jude writes about it in verse 4. Do you see it there? There were certain men who had slipped into the church. And then in verse 4, he gives us a very important profile of a dangerous leader. It's important to bear this in mind. Here's a profile from Jude of a dangerous leader. Number one, this person is godless. You see that in verse 4? In other words, here are folks who talk a great deal about God, as all religious leaders do, but God does not carry any real weight in their lives. That's what he's saying. Second, this kind of dangerous leader is immoral. They speak always about the grace of God, but they turn God's grace into a license, Jude says, for immorality. In other words, they place no emphasis at all on God's calling to take up the cross and to live a holy life that is patterned after Jesus. Thirdly, they are unaccountable. Notice still verse 4, they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, notice it does not say that they deny Jesus Christ. Obviously, if someone denied Jesus Christ, it'd be very difficult for them to find a church in which they could lead. But it does say that they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, the way that these leaders accommodate an ungodly lifestyle is that simply they push to the margins any emphasis on the lordship of Jesus. In other words, they talk about Jesus who's Savior, but they neglect Jesus who is Lord. And the constant diet, therefore, of this kind of ministry is that Jesus loves you, Jesus forgives you, Jesus accepts you as you are. There is no emphasis on he calls you to live a holy life and to follow him. Now, Jude uses three pictures to describe the long-term effects of this kind of ministry. Because he says this sort of thing is creeping into the church, and when it does creep into the church, here's what you can expect to find. Verse 12. He pictures these leaders as first clouds without rain. In other words, they seem to promise a great deal in what they're saying, but actually they deliver very little. Secondly, they're like trees without root, verse 12. In other words, they look incredibly strong, but actually they do not have spiritual life. And thirdly, they are stars without light. Notice that same verse, wandering stars from whom blackest darkness is reserved forever. The picture here is of a shooting star. It goes up in a great blaze of glory and then it disappears into outer darkness forever. Now it says, Jude, there are some ministry leaders who are just like that. They go up in a blaze of glory, but actually their ministry ends up counting for nothing in eternity. It's just lost in utter darkness. A very dramatic picture. Now, this kind of thing was becoming a crisis in the early church. And that is why the Holy Spirit moved Jude to write this letter. And I thank God for this letter, because it is one that we desperately need in the Christian church today. You only need to read your newspaper to know that the church in our country is desperately troubled today by immoral leaders, by leaders who accommodate an immoral lifestyle by denying the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the big thing for them is individual freedom. And because individual freedom is central, the lordship of Jesus Christ must necessarily be pushed to the margins. That is where a large part of the Church of Jesus Christ is in our country today. Therefore, we desperately need this letter of Jude, don't we? If we're reading our newspaper at all. I have a great love for the northeast of England, where I used to spend a couple of weeks each year visiting churches and encouraging pastors as part of the role that I had in the Free Church in Britain. Now, at one time, there were thousands of people who came to Jesus Christ in the northeast of England. And Methodist churches bursting with spiritual life were planted all over the northeast of England. Today, there are scores and scores of these churches that are like empty shells, lifeless monuments. There's no spiritual life in them, there's no people in them. What killed them was precisely what Jude is warning us about here. Godless leaders who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. Now, we see these dangers in our culture if our eyes are open to what's going on around us at all. And the question is, well, what can we do about it? We would change this whole nation if we could, wouldn't we? But you and I can't do that. So the question is, if we can't change the whole nation, what are we to do? And that's why Jude gives us these seven exhortations, which we're calling the seven workouts for a healthy Christian life. Notice how he comes into it in verse 20. He's described all that's going on and the pressure that's on the church and the kind of thing that we're reading in the newspaper in this culture in which we live. And it sometimes breaks our heart because it brings such discredit on the name of Jesus Christ. What are we to do? Verse 20. But you, dear friends, he says, here's what you're to do. And we've been following these exhortations, these workouts. He said, here's what you're to do when you see these kind of things happening around you. Build yourself up in your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love. Wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ to bring you to everlasting life. And then you remember last time we saw that while we're waiting, we're to engage in ministry, reach out to others. You're to be merciful to those who doubt. You're to snatch others from the fire and to save them. You're not to detach yourself from ministry in this culture. You're to engage in it and you're to seek to do good and you're to be merciful and you're to be urgent about it. Now that's where we've got to, and that therefore is our starting point as we come to the sixth of the seven workouts today. And Jude has two more very important things to say. We look at one of them today. And it's this. As you do all these things, watch yourself. Watch yourself. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. In other words, he's saying, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, as you reach out to others in ministry in this culture, be very, very careful that you do not end up falling into sin yourself. Now notice that Jude uses the word fear here, and it's very important. You need to have a healthy kind of a fear that you do not fall into the same sins as someone else that you are reaching out to. The Bible speaks of fear in two kinds of ways. There's an unhealthy kind of fear. I mean, we should not fear danger. We should not fear our enemies. Jesus says you should not fear even those who kill the body. Don't fear them. But there is also a healthy kind of fear that we need. You should fear God, and you should fear being stained by the corruption of this world. And this fear arises from a healthy skepticism about ourselves. You see, if you have understood the Bible's teaching correctly, you will have a full confidence in Jesus Christ. But you will also, if you've understood the Bible correctly, have a healthy skepticism about yourself. It's interesting, isn't it, that our culture gets these things entirely the other way around. That we live in a culture of people who are full of confidence in ourselves and full of doubts about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that's completely seeing it the wrong way around. There is every reason for you to have full confidence in Jesus Christ. And if you know your own flesh, there's every reason for you to have a healthy skepticism with regards to yourself. If we do not have that, we will not be watching against sin, and if we're not watching against sin, we may very well find ourselves in a situation like the one that is around us, where the church is burdened with so much moral failure, especially among leaders.
Really a sobering warning today here on Open the Bible. Well, thanks for listening. This is a message entitled, Watch Yourself, and it's part of a larger series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, taking a look at seven spiritual workouts we find in the book of Jude. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, you can listen online. Come to openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen is to get the Open the Bible app. It's free at your app store, and it's a great way to listen on demand and stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching wherever you go. But whether you listen on the radio, online, or through the app, it's all made possible because of your generous support. So thank you for giving to and supporting Open the Bible. If you'd like to partner with us financially, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or visit our website, openthebible.org. Well, we've got a new project I'm excited to tell you about. It's a new podcast called Hike Through the Bible. It's taking you all the way through the Bible story in 50 episodes. You're going to find the podcast, Hike Through the Bible, at your favorite podcast platform. We also have a video version of this. If you want to find out more, visit our website, openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike. Well, let's get back to our message. Again, we're in the book of Jude. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want you to notice the beautiful balance of Scripture here in verse 24. We'll come to this next week, and really these messages are a pair together. But just to glance ahead, verse 24, Jude says, Christ is able to keep you from falling. This is wonderful, and it'll be our focus next time. You have a Savior who is able to keep you from falling. He can protect you from the devil. You do not need to fall into his snares. Christ can keep you from falling. You have a Savior you can trust. But at the same time, he's telling us here that we must also watch ourselves. You need to be on your guard. You live in a world where there is much corruption, and you must watch out lest it contaminate you. So I like to think of these as being like a bicycle with two wheels. God has built these two truths of confidence in Jesus Christ and skepticism about myself into the framework of his truth. And if you take either of the wheels off the bicycle, you're not going to get anywhere very far, obviously. You will not make much progress. There is real protection in the Christian life, and there is real danger in the Christian life. Emphasize one without the other, and you're out of balance, and you're headed for disaster. God has built both of these truths into the framework of his revelation. Now, that's why we're going to take 2 weeks on this subject. We're going to talk about the real danger today. We're going to talk about the real protection next Sunday. And let's take them together. I want to remind you of the importance of this theme of watching in Scripture. So just a number of references, very simply, to remind you that this is an important theme in the Bible. The Bible is full of warnings to Christians about the danger of us falling into serious sin. For example, as we read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, this is talking about mature Christians, Christian leaders, and so it's reminding those who are most mature in the faith that you are never beyond the need to carefully watch yourself. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to his disciples, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Not just pray, but also watch. Watch. We're going to talk about what that means today. Acts 20:28, again to Christian leaders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer and watching, being watchful and thankful. So you're to devote yourself to being watchful. That's a very strong phrase, isn't it? Give yourself to being watchful. How are you doing that? And then 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, do you see the pattern? God has given to us a clear responsibility to watch our lives. And nothing could be more dangerous than for you to drift through the Christian life looking at certain sins and saying, oh, that could never happen to me. That is the sin of presumption. It is asking for trouble. Remember that when Satan tried to tempt our Lord Jesus, he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, why don't you just throw yourself down? Because the angels will hold their hands up and you won't even hit your foot against a stone. And of course, Jesus said, that's right, Satan. You can always trust God to protect you. No, he did not say that. But you see, you and I sometimes say that. What did Jesus say? Satan, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, having established our responsibility to be watchful, that we dare not be those who are presumptuous in the way that we live, I want to ask three very simple questions to try and open this theme up together. First, why do you need to watch yourself? Second, what is it that we need to watch particularly? And then thirdly, very practically, how is it that we go about this business of watching? Why do you need to watch? Three reasons. First, watch because other people have fallen. Now, we all know stories about good Christian people who have fallen into serious sin. Let the sins of others be a warning to you. What sins do you think you're not capable of committing? That may just be your point of danger. Do you know other young folks who've ended up sleeping with a girlfriend? Let the sins of others be a warning to you. I'm going around saying, oh, that would never happen to me. That's naive, foolish for you to say that. Happened to someone else? Let the sins of other people, wherever you see them, and you will always see them with tears, but let them be to you an alarm clock from God to waken you up and say, boy, I need to live carefully. The Bible says, if you think you are standing firm, be very careful that you don't fall. Others have fallen into sin. It's naive for you to say it can't happen to you. Second, watch, because your flesh is weak. Now remember Jesus' words to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. And you remember what he said after that, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. You believe that? When you are born again, you become a new person in Christ. When you are born again, the Spirit fills you. When you are born again, you have a new life that puts you in the position to have victory over sin. That's why there's that hope and victory, that strength of God that is with us, which is such a wonderful thing. But this new life that you live is lived in the body. Remember Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there are two realities about this Christian life. One, it is a life of faith in the Son of God. Two, it is a life lived in the body. And that's why the Christian life is such a struggle, isn't it? Now, there is no avoiding this battle. As long as you are in the body, as long as you are in this world, you will be living a life of faith in the Son of God on the one hand, but you'll be living it in the body, and that is why it will always be a struggle. And if you know your own flesh, then you will understand why you need to be watchful.
You know, a great reminder today, all of us are vulnerable to sin, so we have to be on guard. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, Watch Yourself. It's part of a larger series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. You know, if we want to be growing in our faith, it does take some effort, but it will be worth it. And in this series, Pastor Colin is giving us 7 spiritual workouts from the book of Jude. And as we do the work, it will help us get our spiritual life into shape. So if you want to get a copy of today's message or the series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, I love reading, but admittedly, I don't have a lot of time to read. So when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe that's you. You resonate and identify with that. If that's the case, we're excited about a brand new podcast we want you to check out. It's called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and the Hike Through the Bible podcast will take you on a journey through the entire Bible story, giving you the option of listening or watching rather than reading. And in each episode, I'll read a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible, and then I'll discuss it with some friends. I hope you'll join me in hiking through the Bible. You'll grow in your faith, you'll deepen your grasp of Scripture, and you'll come to love Jesus more. It's not too late to get started. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I do hope that you'll take that Hike Through the Bible with Pastor Colin. Certainly look forward to doing that together. Again, if you want more information, openthebible.org/hike. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/gf. That's openthebible.org/gf.